Hello, and welcome to Inverse Ataski, the Atari 8-Bit Productivity Podcast. My name is Wade, and I'll be your host. Introduction. This podcast is not about Atari 8-Bit games or reviews. You likely won't get any interviews either, but that's not 100% off the plate. What this podcast is about is the application software produced for the Atari 8-Bit computer line. By application software, I'm referring to programs that enable you to perform a task, such as writing a letter, creating an address card file, creating a budget, etc. If and when a modern expansion intersects with episode content, I will talk about that as well. I'll be discussing the technical details of the programs, as well as how well they work, and any variations released. You'll also get my likes, dislikes, and overall impression. So first, let's start with a little bit about me. History. I was introduced to Atari Home products with the Home Pong console around 1978 or 79. Who knew knocking a dot back and forth across the screen could be so much fun? My family got a VCS in around 1980. It was a 6-switch, though I don't recall if it was heavy or light. At the time, I wouldn't have known the difference anyway. That unit provided endless hours of entertainment over the years. In 1981, at the age of 13, I got my first computer, an Atari 800. It came with a whopping 16K of RAM. I also got a 410 cassette drive and a Pac-Man cartridge. So with 16K and a 410 cassette drive for storage, I ventured into what would lead to my career choices. I still have that very machine, and it still works. I don't remember if the computer and drive was a combo deal or not, but it came with states and capitals on cassette as well. Maybe it was included with the 410, I don't recall. I also got a Pac-Man cartridge as stated, which I also never sold. I still have it, and it still works. By 1983, I had upgraded to an 800XL. I also replaced the aging 410 with a 1010 cassette drive because disk drives were still too expensive for a young teen. I also had written my first program out of necessity. I had a rather large number of cassettes with different things on them. Each cassette had several things on each side, and I needed to use the tape counter to index them. So I wrote this down on paper. I grew tired of managing that printed list on paper, so I wrote a program to keep track of it. I kept it on one tape, and I kept the data on a separate tape. Yay for productivity, or efficiency anyway. During this time, and up to 1984, I had been reading everything I could about the Atari 8-bit computers, and computers in general. Wherever I was, if I saw a magazine or a book with a computer on it, I picked it up and I started reading, even if it was only for a few minutes. I was truly fascinated with what they could do, even if I couldn't get mine to do it for lack of knowledge. This included hours and hours of typing in programs and seeing what they did and learning how they worked. As I honed my basic skills, one thing I liked to do was go to stores that had an Atari unit on display and play around. When my parents or grandparents went to Foley's, I would head straight for the computer section. I memorized a program that I wrote at home and would input it on each Atari on display. This program would mimic the basic ready prompt. As soon as the next unsuspecting guest pressed a key, it would display security alert. Do not leave. It would buzz the buzzer and flash the screen in red and white. Buzzing the buzzer was the best way to draw attention because you couldn't turn the volume down on it. The program trapped the break key and reset keys so they didn't do anything, leaving only a power cycle to fix it. Then I would hang out across the aisle in the stereo and music section to watch the fun unfold. In late 1983, I was first introduced to word processing. I had quite literally a toy typewriter that I would type homework on. It was orange with yellow keys, and you really had to press hard to make it strike, and you couldn't go too fast or it would jam. There was no correct feature at all, so if I messed up, I could try and fix it with white correction ribbon and restriking the same keys, or do the whole sheet over. Almost as bad as handwriting papers. I knew there had to be a better way. I don't remember how, maybe as a present, but I got Atari Writer on cartridge. Using the 800XL, Atari Writer, and a Star Gemini 10X printer, I never used or even looked at that crappy typewriter again. This was important as it was the first time I truly realized the power of a computer. Inline editing of text, saving and loading later to finish, and reprinting if I found a mistake without having to laboriously retype a whole page. If the computer could do this, what else could it help me do? Oh yeah, that lists the phone numbers. I used Atari Writer as a database before I really understood what a database was all about. In 1984, I had started working at Wendy's, and I managed to get a disk drive, a RANA 1000 double-density drive. The drive opened a whole new world of what was possible on the computer. Up until this time, I had largely been programming dumb games and animations in BASIC, playing commercial games, and writing homework papers on it, and that's about it. By 1985, I had acquired a 130XE and a modem. I had a CompuServe account for a while, but found the local BBS scene more entertaining. If you're listening to this, you probably know what a BBS is, but just in case, it's a bulletin board system. With your computer, you could dial into the BBS and play some text games, leave and read messages, very early email chat type stuff, and of course, let's not forget, upload and download files. The files could be anything, from instructions on how to do something, to a pirated game. You earned different privilege levels, which granted you access to different things on the system. So it helped to become friends with the sysop, or system operator, which I did with several, in order to get higher access. This led into a pirated software scene where I did get some of the games, and more importantly for me anyway, the applications, because those are what helped me get things done more efficiently. And now for a small public service announcement. I don't pirate anything anymore, and haven't done so since those days. Back then, software was very expensive, and as a teen, you just didn't have the means to acquire it. It's sad to realize how much that hurt Atari, as well as the software publishers. And I guess that really did lead to Atari's demise. So kids, if you're listening, take a lesson from history and don't pirate anything. In 1986, the year I graduated high school, the end of the 8-bit computers was drawing to a close. At least the writing was on the wall. The 16-bit Atari ST was out, as was the Commodore Amiga. Immediately following graduation, I purchased an Atari 520 ST, Atari SF-354 disk drive, Atari SC-1224 color monitor, and an Avatex 1200 baud modem. I think it may have come with ST Writer as well, since that's the word processor I remember using. I had also started programming in higher level languages and ended up buying OSS Personal Pascal as well. I started writing useful utility programs to help me do things I wanted to do. But the ST didn't hold the same charm the 8-bits did, so I never ended up using it to the same extent that I used the 8-bit. This was also the year I got my first real job, and it was in the computer industry, so I was excited. Between college and working, I stayed pretty busy and largely used the computer for just getting things done for school, mainly word processing. I did write several programs on the ST. One was a database of sorts to help me track vehicle mileage. Another was a Dungeons & Dragons character generator, a program that I would write repeatedly on many computers starting on the Atari 8-bits. Yeah, I played D&D back then. It's a whole lot of fun, and it's Will Wheaton approved. So if you've never played a fantasy role-playing game, I encourage you to do so. It's a great escape, and like I said, it's a lot of fun. It was also during this time I learned about desktop publishing programs. Though it's not technically desktop publishing software, I used Rubber Stamp on the Atari ST to make a lot of different forms and posters. Around 1988, I had sold pretty much all of my Atari collection, including my ST, which left me to use the IBM PCs at work, and storing my data on 5 1/4-inch floppies, which I kept in the glove box of my car for the most part. Not ideal. At work, I got to learn about professional-grade word processors like WordStar and WordPerfect, networking with Novell NetWare, CAD or computer-aided drafting using AutoCAD, advanced typesetting using PageMaker, spreadsheets with Lotus 1-2-3, and a quote-unquote real database using Ashton Tate's DBase. I was amazed at what could be achieved with a computer and the proper software. DBase quickly became one of my favorites, and I ended up programming in it for a long period of time. Back then, I would spend hours looking through software for what it does and how it might benefit me, something I still do to this day. There was a period of a few years from 95 or 96 and ending in 1998 or 99 where I had reacquired some Atari computer equipment. I had an Atari 1040 ST coupled with a SciQuest zip drive and a Hayes 2400 baud modem. I did everything on that machine, including surf the web, albeit web surfing was a bit of a dismal experience. Well, that's enough, or actually too much, about me. Now a little bit more about the show. While I did and do enjoy video games on the 8-bit, I have always been interested in what the computer could do for me to make life easier, more productive, or just more efficient. This show is the inverse of the other Atari shows. No games here. Only things that enable personal productivity. That said, I do enjoy the other Atari shows immensely. They are what sparked this idea. I'm going to break the show down into seasons. The first season will cover word processing. Further seasons will cover databases, spreadsheets, finance, and education software. We'll see where it goes from there. I just have over a dozen shows for season one, which may change if I find something that should be added. My goal is to produce a show every 3 weeks. If I can do it faster, I will, but 2 weeks will probably be the maximum frequency due to other constraints on time. This is my first podcast ever, so bear with me as I get acclimated to hosting. I hope you find it interesting and continue to listen. If you have any corrections or suggested additions, please feel free to let me know. Special thanks. I'd like to thank Ferg from the Atari 2600 Game by Game podcast for giving me the initial inspiration to do this and answering many, many questions for me. I'd also like to thank Rob O'Hara from You Don't Know Flack podcast for his excellent episode on podcasting, which I've listened to several times, taking careful notes in hopes of making this one decent. So thank you, Baker and Commodork. Contact info. You can find Inverse Atascii on Facebook at http://www.facebook.com/InverseAtascii, on Twitter at InverseAtascii, and on the web at http://inverseatascii.info. You can reach me via email with wade@inverseatascii.info or inverseatascii@icloud.com. Again, thanks for listening, and I hope you'll tune back in.